Certainly enjoyed the few words that Brother Don had to say this morning. And, you know, that's on the mind of the Lord's people today. What are the Lord's people out to see? You know, he was out in the wilderness. Most people want to go in a fine, air-conditioned, beautiful building. Many of them have got some of the best architect inside the building you've ever seen. But here's the greatest preacher Jesus said that had ever walked, and he's out in the wilderness in the desert. How many folks you think wanted to travel out there in the desert to hear John the Baptist preach? I believe the greatest problem in Christianity today in this country is that church or the assembly of the saints has become centered around man and not centered around the Lord Jesus Christ. And any time that man becomes the focus and the center, you will find that it is a church that will decline and decay because, as Don said, our only hope in preaching and your only hope in hearing is that the Lord Jesus Christ is in our midst and that he will bless us. I think one of the greatest loss of God's people in the day that we live is the fact that this book that God has preserved from this generation forever, as we're told in Psalms chapter 12. You know, many books have come and gone in the world, but we're told that the words of this book are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. That word seven means complete. We don't need any additions. We don't need any subtractions. Everything from the job you do out in the world to the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ to every problem that you will face, every challenge you'll come across, you'll find the answers to your troubles in the Word of God. Yet I believe it's one of the most misread books, even though God preserved it. If man had been left to preserve this book, it had been gone a long time ago. Thou shalt keep these words, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Psalms 12 and 7. So we have before us a book that I believe is something that we need to read and we need to study. We don't just need to read it, we need to do it every day. We preached last Sunday, and I think so much about the words in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, a wise man will hear and will increase in learning. A man of understanding. A wise man is a man who understands and seeks out wise counsel. When he doesn't understand something, he seeks it out. You know, that's a great, great way to evaluate ourselves. And you might say, well, I go pretty regular to hear the preacher preach. That's not what he's talking about. That's a great blessing. We are commanded to assemble one with the other, to praise and worship God. But is God's word speaking to you? If you're not reading it, if you're not studying it, it cannot speak to you. It cannot train you. It teaches us how to raise our children. It teaches us how to take care of the elderly. It teaches us how to love one another as God loved us. Not because we were lovable, because he loved us with an everlasting love in spite of our inability to be loved, our wretchedness, our wrongness. In fact, that we didn't love him. This book teaches us more about life than we can get anywhere in the world. People talk about wisdom. The world's full of it. Man has all kinds of wisdom. But Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he said, the Lord said, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Men who are wise in their own minds are spoken of in the third chapter of the book of Timothy, ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. But friends, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, not by the inspiration of man. This is not something that some man sat down under a tree one day and began to think about and thought, well, you know, this sounds pretty good. I'll write it down. First of all, it would never be here today. It wouldn't have been preserved from this generation forever. But Paul went on to say it's profitable that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works, thoroughly furnished in every aspect of your life. It's got answers for the problems that we have when the waves begin to overflow us in life, and they will overflow you. The storms are coming, just like Psalms 1 tells you. If you've been through a storm and you've gotten past it and you're in the eye of the storm, just like the thunderstorms and the hurricanes, they never stop coming in this life. There'll be another on the horizon. Be prepared. As long as you live in this earth, troubles and difficulties are going to come your way. I wish it wasn't that way. You get beyond one and you think, well, couldn't be anything any worse. But troubles come our way. In this world ye shall have tribulation. I think about the man that will hear and increase in learning. Bible tells us that's a wise man. And we're not going to get into the rest of that last week. It compared to wise man. The opposite of a wise man is the foolish man. We find that to be experienced many times in the Word of God, even among God's people. But we find over here in Hebrews chapter 5, I want to read a few verses here, and this is not where I'm going to 2 Timothy, but it says in verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. These people were bored, they were tired, they'd likely been in the church some 30 years after the day of Pentecost. They didn't even hear the preaching, much less did they hear the Word of God, which has the power, we're told in the 4th chapter of Hebrews, to discern. Let's read that verse. We're right there. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart, your heart and my heart. This is the power of God's Word. God will not speak to you on a daily basis unless you make the sacrifice of reading His Word. You know, there was many years when I grew up before I began to try to proclaim God's Word that I didn't read. I didn't see any sense in reading. I didn't want to read. I didn't like reading. It wasn't part of my life. I made every excuse. I read the headlines, read a few sports pages. Other than that, I didn't want to read anything. But then I began to examine why we're in the condition we're in. You know, like Brother Don said, if we're going to be centered around the Lord Jesus Christ in our worship and in our life, we need to increase in knowledge. A wise man will hear. He will hear God's Word speak to him, and he will increase in learning. We're told in the 9th chapter of Proverbs that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's not the fulfillment of it. That's where it starts in this life. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The knowledge of God is where we begin to understand what life is all about. We begin to gain wisdom. Some people might rise up and say, well, you know, God didn't bless me with the wisdom this other man had. But I tell you, James chapter 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, freely, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Maybe we don't feel like we need any more wisdom. Maybe we feel like we have all the wisdom that we need. You know, the world gives us a mouthful of wisdom every day, earful, through their mouth. I mean, we get filled with the world's wisdom at every juncture you can look at. But God said, I will destroy that wisdom and I'll bring the understanding of the prudent to nothing. What's under consideration in the Bible is wisdom that comes from on high, that comes from God. It goes on here and it says, For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again in the 12th verse, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. The Bible teaches us that when you're born of the Spirit of God, you're just like an infant. When you had your children, they didn't come out of the mother's womb walking down the aisle, speaking the full language and doing all the things as they grew and learned through the course of their life. Growing is something that we spiritually have to do. And the only way you're going to ever spiritually grow is make the sacrifice in our life to read God's Word and to study it, to make it a part of our lives. I believe wisdom is priceless, but I believe there are very few of us that have the wisdom that God's Word talks about. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning. That'll be his statement throughout the journey of his life. He will hear. Not only will he hear the gospel preached once in a while or every Sunday, but he will hear God speak to him when he reads God's Word. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and it's profitable. There's not anything in God's Word that's not profitable and needful. And if we want to see change, that's where it starts. It instructs us to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It instructs us in the way of life. It goes on here and it says, For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Just as I said, it's just like a baby. You can't expect a baby to do the same thing a 20-year-old does. They have to grow. They have to be nurtured. They have to be taught. Fathers, bring your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That word nurture means to tutor them one-on-one. I failed, and I'll admit it to you today, but we ask why we are who we are. Why has religion or Christianity become centered around man instead of around the Lord Jesus Christ? We need to get back to reading God's Word and studying God's Word and making it part of our life. You know, we're getting educated, but a lot of times that's from the television or whatever it is that we do. We need to make that sacrifice. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus didn't say life would be easy. He made a sacrifice for you and I. Are you willing to make a sacrifice for the betterment of your family, for your church, for the nation that you live in? Doing things that you don't like, when you do those things, it tells us that we're making a sacrifice. It's giving up something that you like for maybe something that isn't as interesting, but it's more beneficial. Now, I want to spend a few minutes here or a little bit of time talking about the study of God's Word. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning. Apostle Paul has told us that all Scripture is profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Friends, that's not just the preacher. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, Timothy was Paul's son in the ministry. Some people might say, well, you know, that's for ministers. But I'm here to tell you that application is made to every child of God that's ever been born of the Spirit of God. Every one of God's children, that's an application to them. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Don't study to show God approved unto you. Study so that you will study seeking God's approval. That's what God seeks. He seeks those to worship Him, to study and to learn of Him, to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, if you think that's just for the preachers, go to Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. It says, the Bereans were more noble than those at Thessalonica. Why were they? It says they were because they was ready to hear the word preached. They heard the word with all readiness of mind. They went to church and they heard the word. But they didn't stop there, brothers and sisters. They did not stop. They did not take it at face value. It said they searched the scriptures daily. Where those things be so? Do you want strong families? Do we want a strong nation? You know, the wicked's not the problem. They've always been around. Jesus said, the prophet said in 1 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name. He didn't say, if the wicked will turn over a new leaf and become one of my children. He said, if my people, those that belong to me, that call upon my name, will turn from their wicked ways, they will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Isn't it amazing that if we don't fulfill those lists, God said He wouldn't hear us. Then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive your sin and heal your land. Does our land need a healing? You know, things have changed drastically, as Brother Don said, in the traditional churches that I grew up knowing over the course of 50 years ago. I turned 58 this year, you know, and I guess to a lot of folks that's getting old, but for the 58 years I've lived upon this earth, I've seen a lot of changes, especially in churches. A lot of churches that were very conservative have become very contemporary or liberal, you might say, compared to what they used to be. You know, going to church is all about worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, but now it's all about what I can get out of it, how I feel about it. And that's why so many things, as Brother Don said, have been instituted within the church, that they might draw those folks. It's a fulfilling of the flesh. But when we come to church, our focus should be upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who laid down His life for each and every one of us, the one who died upon the cross of Calvary, and when His hands and feet were nailed to that cross, your sins were nailed to the cross with Him. Not only did He die, He rose for your justification, and because He lives, we've got the promise that we shall live. Now, as we go back over there, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. He says here, if you're going to take the time to read and you're going to get any benefit out of it, it's going to be work or labor. You know, we read a lot of things, we watch a lot of things, we do a lot of things. How much time do we really spend in knowing about the God of heaven, the one who instructs us daily on how we ought to live and walk and teach and train our children and deal with one another and love one another? On and on goes the list. I believe it begins with making the sacrifice of studying God's word. It says to rightly divide the word of truth. That means it can be wrongly divided. The truth can never be divided. It will stand forever. But the word can be wrongly divided. The word dividing means to cut straight, like a tent maker who take two pieces of canvas and cut them perfectly that they might come together in perfect unison, perfect harmony. That's how God's word's supposed to be to us in life. You know, the one thing you need to understand when you begin to study God's word is there are no contradictions in God's word. If you see something in God's word that appears to be a contradiction, understand this before you ever begin. The contradiction's in your mind. It's in my mind. It's in the reader's mind. It's not in the mind of God. God didn't contradict himself in the word of God. And let's look at some of those things. Works is a great place to start. We're told over in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he hath saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. You read the prior verses and you'll see the context. When you study God's word, you must know the context. You must know the context. We're told in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Here again, it's not of our works. I know old Baptists who've gotten so carried away with works because it's not the works that get us to heaven that they don't believe there's any place for works in life. But we'll continue to look at that. We go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. By grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, if man ever took place in his own salvation, man would spend most of his time boasting and saying, look what I've done. Look how I've went down this road and I've gotten myself positioned. Not a work, lest any man should boast. Now, when we read God's word and study God's word, we must understand that in certain scriptures, in certain books of the Bible, certain chapters, we must understand the context. Now, he said, not a work, lest any man should boast. That's in Ephesians chapter 2. Let's run over there. Let's notice verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. Now, he just said it's not of works, but we got to notice something here. The works that Paul speaks of in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 are the works that come after creation. You and I have no power to create, do we? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We have nothing to do. The work spoken of here was after you've been created, after you've been quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, after you've had spiritual life given to you by the life-giving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Works always follow the new birth. But they're important. They don't get us to heaven. We're told in the Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mount deals with our life here on the earth. That's what it does about us living a godly life and how we're to live and do in this earth. Let your light so shine that others see in your good works might glorify our Father which art in heaven. If your light isn't shining bright enough, are you not going to heaven? No, that's not what it's teaching at all. It's teaching that if you're going to live in such a way to honor God, to praise God, and to truly glorify Him, your light must brightly shine. If you want a list of works, go to Matthew 25. We won't read through them. Those that are on the right hand, those that clothed Jesus, fed Jesus, went to visit him in the hospital, went to visit him in prison, and they knew not when they went. The law of God was written in their heart, and because of the love they had for the Lord Jesus Christ, they done these things unaware, and as much as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. That's the works that God calls upon us to do. Why? Because we have been created in Christ Jesus. We are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We've been given hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. We need to study. We need to understand that when the floods start coming and the storms start coming in our life, and I'm telling you, they're coming. They come by the way of death. They come by the way of finances. They come by multiple ways in our lives. Like the tree that's planted by the river in Psalm 1, if your roots are not deep in the Word of God, when those storms come, they're going to carry you away like the chaff. I've told you many times, I spent my entire life farming, and the words in the Bible that speak toward farming are very understandable to me. Chaff is something that is dead, that's not alive. It blows everywhere the wind sends it. It comes out of the back of a combine, and every little wind that comes along picks it up and blows it everywhere. It's unstable. The tree planted by that river, even in a drought, stays green because its roots are driven down in the Word of God, because it studied the Word of God. It was no longer a babe in Christ. Notice what it says over here about back over in Hebrews 5. 13 says, everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I tell you, that exercising is exercising in reading and studying in God's Word. If we want to make a difference in our lives, we've got to hear God speak to us through His Word. I know I spent a lot of years not doing that. It's easy to set the Bible down on the shelf, let it collect the dust, and know it'll be there in your time of need. Sometimes we don't read the Bible till the storm is upon us, the great storm. Sometimes they're like a Category 5 hurricane, if you would, or an F5 tornado. We have those kind of storms. We have other storms in our life that are not as serious, but they just keep coming. Just like year after year, we have thunderstorms and tornadoes and hurricanes, and they're going to keep coming as long as you and I live. And the spiritual storms of life, the things and the troubles that we have, and death and everything that we face are not going to stop coming. I wish I could tell you that you've been through the only trouble you'll ever have, but that's not life. In this life, you shall have tribulation, Jesus said. But he said, you be of good cheer and courage, because I have overcome the world. When you're focused upon me, when you hear me speak to you, when you increase in your learning, when your understanding has come to you, when you begin by fearing the Lord and continue in that path, it doesn't mean that you won't be heartbroken or that you won't mourn over the troubles that come, but it does mean that you'll be stable and able to get there. Let's look at another word that the Bible speaks of. So often when the word save is used in the Bible, everybody uses it, or many Christians use it, only in the sense of eternity. Everything points to eternity. Let me give you an example. Back in Ephesians 2 and 8, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. But Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, he said, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. In doing so, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear me. Paul says in one chapter, it's not of yourselves. He says over here, it is of yourselves. Which one is it? It's both. If you read the context and have an understanding of what's going on, you will understand that very well. Let's notice 1 Timothy 4 in the very beginning. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And it goes on through this chapter. What does it mean to continue in the truth? You know, Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance. Isn't it amazing how fast God's people forget? The children of Israel had been brought out of bondage in Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea. Can you imagine walking on dry land, seeing the waters heaped up on each side? Seeing a fire by night and a cloud by day and rock, water come out of the rock and manna fall upon the ground to feed you? Those folks were 11-day walk from the promised land, and they traveled around that mountain for 40 years because God brought judgment on that people because of their unbelief. You know, I'd sit here and say, boy, if I seen those kind of things, they'd got my attention for life. But friends, how soon do we forget? We need to be mindful. He says, continue in the doctrine. Continue in those things. Paul put it this way. Notice Paul's language in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. They've been receiving the gospel and been standing and established in the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, but which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. You see, the child of God is like a lamb or a sheep, subject to error so oftentimes when the wolf comes along. It happens time and time again. See, we understand that the saving is not an eternal saving from trespasses and sins like it is in Ephesians chapter 2. But God, who is rich in mercy in verse 4, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, not partially dead, dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. Period. We were quickened together. We were made alive. These folks who were dead, totally dead and spiritually dead, they were quickened and made alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul told Timothy, he said, there's going to come a time that if you don't continue to preach his truth, you're going to stray further and further away from it. You know that's the truth. I've heard people tell me, they told their kids, when you depart from the truth, if you stay gone long enough, you won't even come. It'll be a day you don't even know it. And I believe that's the truth. That's why Peter said, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance. It's amazing how far off track we can get. You wonder why the churches have changed. You wonder what's going on. It's because we're not standing in the truth. In 2 Peter chapter 2, I believe we have a little illustration of this again. It said, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who probably shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken. It's hard to imagine that a child of God can get off track that far, but I'm here to tell you, they can. I'm here to tell you. All you got to do is look at Lot. Study Lot in the Old Testament. But Peter will tell you that he is a child of God without a doubt. In that same 2 Peter chapter 2, it says that his righteous soul was vexed from day to day because of the hearing and the seeing, because of those he dwelt among. We need to stand for the truth. I don't care what's going on out here in the world. I don't care how many changes are being brought about. Christianity is to be centered around Christ. Christianity means followers of Christ. It's not about how good you and I feel. It's about doing what he says. You know, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Not going to get you to heaven. That's why he put the word should there instead of would. If you were absolutely going to walk in good works, he'd have put would there. You should. You should. Why? Because you're a new creature in Christ. Because he loved you with an everlasting love. He gave his life for you on the cross of Calvary. Even when you were dead in sins and you had no love for him, he went to that cross and he died for you. And he paid a debt that you and I could never pay. And he paid it in full. Because if he didn't pay it in full, if anyone ever goes to hell that Jesus died for, God is not just. I'll declare that to you today. Because we're told in 1 Peter chapter 2 that he bore our sins in his own body. If he paid for your sins in the past, the present, the future, and God demands that you go to hell and pay for them again, God cannot possibly be just. He cannot possibly be righteous. But I'm telling you, we serve a Savior that accomplished what he came to do. For he shall save his people from their sins, and I declare to you today, he did it. But if we want to see changes in this world, and among our churches, and in our nation, we need to get involved in reading God's Word. We need to teach our children to read God's Word. There is nothing more important in our lives than the reading and the study of God's Word. Read and understand the context. The Bible teaches me that we're not going to get to heaven by our good works. I ask you, if it's good works, is it a few good works right before you get there? If you have to continue in good works, the Sermon on the Mount tells us that the very thoughts, sinful thoughts that we have are unbelievable. If you hate your brother, you commit murder. If you look upon a woman and lust after her, you commit adultery. I mean, when you take the sins that we commit, actually commit the deeds, and you take the thoughts, we got no hope. If you're a respecter of persons, James says, you commit sin. We all have this great way of saying this sin is worse than another. But I'll tell you this much. If Jesus didn't die for that sin of respecting someone more than you should, you're not going to heaven. If the blood of Christ didn't pay for that sin. So we can put them in any category we want to. But every sin that you've ever committed of any kind had to be paid for by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ if you're to go to heaven. We were made perfect in the eyes of God by the finished work of Christ, because you and I are far from perfect. We're told in Isaiah 64, I believe it is, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. I don't care how straight a path you think you're walking, how good you think you've become. You might be like the elder brother, the prodigal son's older brother. His biggest problem was he's eaten up with pride. We go to Proverbs chapter 6. Pride is the first thing that the Lord mentions. A proud look. Pride is a problem we all get eat up in. You know, the sin shifted. He wasn't out there with harlots like his younger brother, spending everything, living an ungodly life. He was staying at home and keeping the rules. But he's eat up in pride. He wouldn't even come into his brother's house for that great celebration when he came home. He said, thy son. He wouldn't even call him his own brother. He was eat up with pride up one side and down the other. And we can get that way in life very easily. We need to humble ourselves in the presence of Almighty God and just be thankful every day for the blessings that have sent us. And I encourage you to study and read God's Word, to understand the context. You know, we are to do good works. They're not going to get us to heaven. But it's the only way we can give honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ while we live upon this earth, by letting our lights brightly shine, by going out there and helping the fatherless and the widows. Jesus said, when I was in prison, you came unto me. When I was in hungry, you fed me. Inasmuch as you've done it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. That's how you serve Jesus. That's how you do good works. That's what we're supposed to do. Not just come to church once a week and sit down and say we've done our godly duty. To help others in need in whatever way. There's all kinds of needs out there. God loves a cheerful giver. You can't outgive the Lord. The Lord will bless us for helping others. Doesn't it just make your heart feel good to go out and serve others and to do for them, realizing God has blessed you with so much? I thank you for your attention. I hope the words that I've spoken this morning have been of some benefit, and that God would use them to bless us, his people, as we go forward in life.